Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And today is, April the 23rd, the year of our Lord 2020. No, this program is not live, but it's close to it. Same day recording, decided to be proactive, get it down a couple hours before we were supposed to air, just in case there's any technical difficulties or other issues. We got a lot to talk about. Most of you are home, have been for a while. Please don't forget to shower, because apparently we're descending back into, caveman times. We've stopped showering. We've stopped going outside. We're foraging for food in our basements. It's beautiful. Welcome to the land of the free. I'm broadcasting to you from the socialist Republic of Wisconsin, because apparently, you have to be told what to do. You have to obey when you're told what to do. Never you mind that no law was passed. Never you mind that it was just of a decree from a sexually ambiguous governor. No, you're just supposed to shut up and take it. Do what you're told. Because if you don't, well, you want people to die. And I'm sorry to say, Christians aren't helping with this either. Because God bless them, but there's some dumb Christians out there too. I'm just going to throw it out there because we're going to get into it at some point. I've been excessively annoyed this past week. And it had nothing to do with my kids being home or the wife being home. I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoy. I taught my eldest to shoot a slingshot this week, so we have a squirrel, and now apparently it's found a friend in a chipmunk, and the tag team trying to steal the bird seed from our bird feeder. So when it's not the squirrel, it's the chipmunk. And I taught my daughter how to shoot a slingshot, and she is now the protector of the realm, if you will. She now protects the bird feeder, and when the squirrel pops its head out and tries to climb to get to the seeds, well, she tries to shoot at it, scares it away. All good fun. Last week we talked about somebody doing the math of what it would cost as far as dollars and cents, if 60,000 people ended up dying from this virus, and as our response to it as a nation, we shut down the economy and spent, upwards of $10 trillion, which doesn't even account for lost productivity. Well, somebody with, too much free time on their hands did the math, and thank you for doing it. If 60,000 people end up perishing from complications, again, complications, not directly, because if it's directly from this thing, it's going to be minuscule. So they have to spin the numbers somehow. What is it? Elizabeth Warren's 173-year-old brother, who played hacky sack with Abraham Lincoln when they were kids, has gone to the great beyond. And, of course, it's the virus that's to blame, not the fact that, he was around when fire was invented. So, contextualize everything, kids. Somebody did the math. So if 60,000 people perish from complications due to this virus, and it cost the nation $10 trillion, the average cost of each individual death is $130 million. You heard it right. I know, scary number. Now, I put that out there. I mentioned it in passing. And, of course, there was somebody. I don't know, because, all the people that are really brave somehow end up being anonymous on Facebook. But yes, a very brave soul indeed came out and gave a very profound and myopic statement. I'm glad Jesus didn't put a $130 million price sticker on every person. Well, first of all, Jesus said that your flesh is worthless anyway. Jesus said you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross, basically die in order to live. When we start to conflate the spiritual and the physical just to make ourselves seem more spiritual without taking into account that what I'm talking about is the fact that it's not going to be 60,000 people that are going to die all in their twilight years. It's going to be upwards of millions of every age that will starve to death. Suicides are already spiking. There are already people currently, and this is only, what, a month in, that can't bear it anymore. They had a job, past tense. They had a way of feeding their family. They had a way of paying the rent. They had a way of putting a roof over their heads. And just like that, through no fault of their own, taken away. So they see the situation as hopeless. Suicides are spiking, and it's only the beginning. But yes, I know. What if Jesus put a value of $130 million on every life? This is why I'm toying with the idea of just throwing in the towel and going, you know what, do whatever you want. Sure, I'll obsess over every little thing with you. I'll go nuts with you. If I had hair, I'd yank it out of my head right now. The end is nigh, the end is nigh. Everyone should sit in their homes and starve to death to save a handful of old people that just don't want to sit in their homes. Is that it? I'm supposed to watch my kids starve in order to protect the susceptible in society. Well, why don't the susceptible in society stay home? I'm sure we can figure out a program to bring food to their door. Oh, wait, there is one already. But see, there's something more nefarious afoot here. And if you're not seeing it, then you're blind. It may have started out being about a virus, but it sure isn't about a virus anymore. It's become about totalitarian control. I saw a video of a mother in Idaho getting arrested because she dared to take her kids to a public park. Oh, and just as an aside, since we're there, let's talk about this, because there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of people. Even if
it comes down to it and they outlaw guns or something, the cops will never go along with it.
The past couple of weeks have just proven the contrary. Maybe not all cops, because there's some that are standing and going, this is unconstitutional, this is stupid, this is wrong. But there's enough of them out there that will go and arrest a mother in front of her kids because she dared take them outside for some fresh air. Imagine what they'll be willing to do when there is a federal decree that, well, you're not allowed, you know, to protect yourself anymore. You're not allowed to defend your homestead. You're not allowed to defend your family anymore. We gonna come get them. Remember the fake Irishman Beto O'Rourke? That's what he said. Heck yeah, we're gonna come take them. He didn't say heck, but you know, this is a family-friendly show. So I'm not gonna use the words that he used because he is a knave. He's an illiterate. He is a man that should be happy working at, you know, a gas station pumping gas, but somehow fortune smiled upon his foolish behind. An idiot as he is, somehow he's become a national celebrity. Ran for president, too, for a second there. But yeah, let's go back to that. If you didn't think that law enforcement would try to enforce the law, even if the law was insane, the past few weeks, Excuse me while I sip my beverage. The past few weeks likely proved the contrary. You have individuals whose IQ is questionable, who saw being an officer of the law, one who is supposed to protect and serve, as an easy gig, now absolutely drunk with power and authority. There are some that are going out of their way to make people's lives more difficult than they are. Because,
well, the state ordered it.
Well, hold on a second. But if a sexually ambiguous governor orders something that is unconstitutional, and you follow the orders of this unconstitutional governor, what happened to the oath you swore to protect? Look, if this doesn't end soon, you will see bona fide riots on your hands. Again, I know I'm ahead of the curve. I always am. But I have to say it because otherwise there will be someone who, why didn't you see that one coming, smarty pants? Yes, you're going to have riots. You're going to have people despise authority, despise the law. And when you despise something, you are, let's just say, less than inclined to follow their edicts. So this will have reverberations far after we've settled with this nonsense. Because the latest things that are coming out are the fact that Sweden probably got it right. The idea of herd immunity rather than, you know, locking everyone in their basements and threatening to shoot them in the face if they step outside. So apparently the Swedes said, it's going to spread. There's nothing we can do. So let's, you know, allow everything to go on as normal and herd immunity will take its toll. Apparently it's working for the Swedes and they didn't have to lose $10 trillion. They didn't have to lose, what, 26 million jobs as of today. Yes. Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about this. Unemployment numbers are in. Remember when we used to talk about 3.7% unemployment? Oh, seems like so long ago, doesn't it? Remember when we used to talk about there's more jobs than people wanting jobs? Another 4.4 million people filed for unemployment last week, bringing the grand total to 26 million people and change. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to do the math for me. I did it myself. For every life lost thus far from complications due to this virus, we've lost over 500 jobs in these United States. If 1% of those jobs, those people who lost the jobs, descend into hopelessness, alcoholism, spousal abuse, suicide, suicidal tendencies, bankruptcy of every kind, then what you would have had is for every one death from corona, five other people will have ended in misery, likely death, long before their time. I'm not being callous. I understand. It's a horrible thing. But at some point, as rational, logical, you know, call it critical thinking human beings, we have to weigh the cost of loss of jobs. We have to weigh the cost of loss of homes. We have to weigh the cost of loss of everything else compared to the 0.02% of people perishing from complications due to this virus. because the more people being tested, the more people popping positive. What is it? There's some numbers are saying New York, 13% immune from it. That means they've had it at some point. So the reason so scared of not being because most people show no symptoms. They're asymptomatic. They go on about their lives having the virus without knowing that they have it because they're not coughing, they're not sneezing, they're not feverish, they're not anything. And if you believe that Chris Cuomo was feverish and whatever, sitting in his basement having vivid dreams, then I can't help you anymore. Look, there comes a point where you have to cut the cord, where you say, I've tried to help you as much as I can. I've tried to show you the light as much as I can. But I'm done. I throw my hands up in the air. Believe what you can. Believe what you want. Sit in your home until you starve. What more can I tell you? Because most people are believing that, hey, once they say, go ahead, everything's just going to boom like an engine. Look, there are some businesses that are not coming back from this. Period. With all the stimulus, with all the checks, with all the money and everything else, there are businesses that are permanently shuttered. There are business owners who poured their lives into building a business, and now it's all gone. There are restaurants, there are shops that will never more reopen. This is the reality that we're facing, and the longer we keep this closed, the worse it's going to get. Because no nation can print money at infinitum. I know everyone's excited about getting free money, but there's no such thing. Eventually, you're going to have to pay it back somehow. But look, speaking of the socialist Republic of Wisconsin, where we must obey because the very effeminate governor says we must obey. Madison, this just in, they've canceled Memorial Day. No, wait, that's it. Goodbye, au revoir, good night, kids. Memorial Day is closed. Done. Because we say so. What, and you thought King John Un was bad? If you allowed the inclinations of these little tyrants to go through to their rightful end, at some point, I guarantee you, a lot of people would want to emigrate to North Korea. Because what little Fatty Kim understands, that people like Governor Evers or that Nazi lady in Michigan don't, is that you can only push people so far before they rebel. You can only push people so far. You can only take from people so much before they conclude that they have nothing left to lose and they snap. See, a country like North Korea has been doing the tyrannical totalitarian thing long enough where they know the balance, where they know that we can't take everything away. We got to leave them some crumb, some sort of hope, because otherwise they're going to make a run at the palace and slit everybody's throat, and some other idiot's going to be king or prince or governor or dictator or tyrant or whatever you want to call it. See, the people playing at being little tyrants in America don't understand the need for balance. They don't understand that they need to leave people something to be hopeful about, that they need to leave people something to look forward to. Otherwise, you're pushing people over the edge. And people that would have otherwise been normal, everyday, taxpaying citizens saying howdy and good night are going to start doing some truly horrendous and horrible things. But again, it's because these people are new to this. They're new to being dictators. And so they don't understand that there needs to be a balance. See, in my early years, I grew up in a communist country. I grew up in Romania, and there was a man that on paper was not very intelligent. He was a cobbler in his early youth. That was his profession. If you didn't know, Nicolae Ceaușescu was a cobbler. And somehow he came to rule a nation. But what he understood instinctively is that you always had to leave the people a little something. You always had to leave them a shred of hope. Because if they had nothing left to lose, then what happened in 89 would have happened back in 76. So he left them their celebrations, and he left them their parades, and he left them their just little trifle things. But it's something that they look forward to. Well, it's December. In June, we're going to celebrate the parade of flowers. I guess I'll hang in there for another 6 months. And then the parade of flowers came along. They gave a free beer to every adult. And then they had December to look forward to. It wasn't much, but it was something. And until that fateful day back in 1989 when Ceaușescu came out and tried to give him a little something more. We're going to increase your salaries 5%. Please go home. He tried again. Because that little something was insufficient after so many years. So he thought we're going to up the ante by a whole 5%. We will give you more money. 5% more salary for you. And the people said, no. I think we've had enough. And we all know how that ended. Well, these governors don't understand the delicate balance. And it's not going to last 40 years before the people have enough and very, very ugly things begin to happen. But let's go back to the story. Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, the Socialist Republic of Wisconsin welcome you. We have much cheese, or at least we used to before farmers started dumping their milk because nobody was making cheese and nobody was buying eggs and nobody was buying milk. And pretty soon, you are going to see the shortage in the store because if farmers are dumping their milk, the milk isn't getting put in fancy cartons either. It's not being driven to the store. It's not being sold on the rafter. So there's what the future holds is by no means rainbow colored. What the future holds is by no means nice. But at least we know. At least we are aware. At least we can prepare mentally for what's about to come. We're not ignorant walking about going, oh, they said a couple more weeks. I guess a couple more weeks. And then the couple more weeks is over, and guess what? Oh, another month. Look, depending on who you listen to, these people are talking about 2 years out, 18 months out. This economy is not going to last another 6 weeks. If we are shut down into June, start buying gold and silver as much as you can get your hands on. Because the U.S. dollar will crater like nobody's business. They're already undercutting it with the price of oil. But, you are talking about these things again. Jesus never put a price on anything. No, he didn't, because he was Jesus. And he was trying to save men's souls. I'm hoping that those of you listening to this program already know the basics of salvation, the fundamentals of Scripture. I'm trying to keep you from going nuts 3 weeks from now. I'm trying to keep you from being one of those self-righteous Pharisees that are going to start shaking their fists at the heavens when what I'm telling you will happen will begin to happen, and they're no longer so sanctimonious. They're no longer so, holier than thou. So if you want to listen, listen. If you don't, don't. But go back for the last 3 months of programs. Listen to them back to back. And then tell me I wasn't ahead of the curve every single time. Back to Wisconsin, because it's where I live. So it is important to me because I live here. Things are bad and getting worse for Wisconsin's $22 billion tourism industry. But Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary, designee, and I love this name, Sarah Meany, is standing by her boss's plan to slowly, ever so slowly, incrementally even, almost imperceptibly, reopen Wisconsin. A cure for a gravely ill economy that many argue is worse than the disease. I am among those arguing this, that the cure is far worse than the disease. We've only just begun to see how horrible a thing this cure will be. 26 million people unemployed, out of jobs, collecting unemployment. 26 million. Got it? But what if Aunt Edna gets it? Aunt Edna should stay home and pray a lot. Because if we don't start going back to work, if we don't start earning again, if we don't start doing the things that need doing, Aunt Edna might not get it, but Aunt Edna sure is going to die a slow and painful death from starvation. So, just letting you know. I'm ready to incur your wrath and to be told that I am not Christian because I think about things objectively. That I am not Christian because I take into consideration the fact that this is already having economical or economic repercussions, that this is already having psychological repercussions. People have been scarred by this. Not as though people were wholly, you know, healthy, mentally speaking, beforehand. We're a nation that loves pills, man, even in the best of times. Everyone's got a prescription for something. I'm depressed. I need pills. If you were on uppers or whatever they call them before this, when things were going smoothly and the sun was shining and you can go sit down in a Mickey D's and have yourself a quarter pounder and have somebody come and pick up the tray with the dirty wrapper and throw it away from you, if your body was already used to the chemicals causing you to numb the reality of life when you had no reason for your reality to be numbed, I don't know what you're doing now. Are you doubling the dose? Are you taking the whole bottle? So it's not as though, you know, we went from a nation of amazing mental health and emotional and spiritual fulfillment. We were already deep in the bin. And now the bottom has dropped out of the bin. I'm not seeing the upside. All I know is that the longer it stays closed, the worse it's going to be. So back to the Socialist Republic of Wisconsin. Yesterday, Governor Evers released the Badger Bounce Back Plan. I've read through the Badger Bounce Back Plan. You know how the Wisconsin economy is going to bounce back? It's as likely to bounce back as Aunt Edna after she dies of starvation is. That's how likely the bounce back program is going to work. the 14 days in decline is one of the first barometers that need to occur before they'll reopen the economy. That's insanity. Now, the Badger Bounce Back Plan clearly outlines phases and important criteria for us to be able to reopen our economy, including steps to ensure our workers and our businesses are prepared to reopen as soon as it's safe to do so, said Meany. But apparently, it will not be safe to do so by Memorial Day weekend. All the hotels and all the bed and breakfasts that were hoping to have an uptick in residency come Memorial Day weekend, too bad for you. Before all this started, I was planning to take my kids to Kalahari. It's one of these indoor water parks for the Memorial Day weekend. That's not going to happen. I don't even think they'll be open. But even if they are, they won't let people stay there, apparently, because in spite of your inclinations and tendencies to want to get back to normal and protect, you know, your livelihood, we're protecting you from you and you just don't see it. Someday you'll thank us. Someday you'll thank us for making you bankrupt and homeless. Someday you'll thank us for keeping you, you know, alive while you watched everything you worked for just vanish into thin air. Because if it gets bad enough, you know what? Most people are probably going to say, hey, that $1,000 guaranteed per month that Andrew Yang kept going on about looks pretty good right about now. Again, at some point, it may have been about the virus. Right now, it's not about the virus. It's about control. It's about bleeding the will of this nation to the point where we will accept fascism, where we will accept socialism, where we will accept the things that we've rejected offhand for so long. And I've had people say, well, I guess Trump's toast now, you know, with everything going on. Joe Biden's a shoo-in. Have you seen Joe Biden talk? Look, I understand that some people like to make excuses for old Joe, but when you say seven words that cannot be connected in any way, shape, or form to form a coherent thought, over and over again, where if you had drool dripping down your left cheek and you were holding a nice cup of cocoa in your hand, looking off in the distance, you wouldn't seem out of place. Let's just say that we're dealing with an almost Weekend at Bernie-like scenario with Joe Biden. Kitty cat troubleshoot, popcorn bang, fat. There you go. I just imitated Joe Biden. You are welcome. That was genius. But it's not. It's not about that anymore, man. It's about everyday average citizens. People with families and homes and hopes and dreams. Just seeing everything turn into dust before their eyes. Because we refuse to use reason. Because we allow the media to pump fear into us until we're jumping out of our skin. I just read this today. Listen, this is the news from, reputable news sources. Hidden outbreaks spread through the U.S. cities far earlier than Americans knew, estimates say. That's the title. Remember last week I told you I thought my wife probably had it and my kids, and it didn't affect me very much? Yeah. By the time New York City confirmed its first case of the coronavirus, On March 1st, thousands of infections were already silently spreading through the city. A hidden explosion of a disease that many still viewed as a remote threat as the city awaited the first signs of spring. Hidden outbreaks were also... Why were they hidden? Because the media wasn't trying to gin up panic. They were hidden because the media wasn't trying to gin up fear. They were hidden because there wasn't a 15-minute biopic about every 87-year-old that died during that time. It was assumed natural causes. Even now, I'm sorry, they're not even testing to see if the person had the virus. If you die today of anything, it will simply be assumed that you died of the virus. As I've been saying, something is not smelling quite right. Something is amiss. And if we sit back silently and justify inaction to ourselves somehow by saying we're doing it for the greater good and we're saving lives by staying home, you're lying to yourself. It's as easy and as simple as that. Hidden outbreaks were also spreading among completely undetected, almost completely undetected in Boston, San Francisco, Chicago, and Seattle. Long before testing showed that each city had a major problem, according to a model. As I said to you earlier, right now they say about 13% of New York has developed immunity. Well, it's been updated. It went from 13% 2 hours ago to 21%. This is what Governor Cuomo stated. 21% in New York have antibodies. What does this mean? Plainly, simply, if 21% of the people in New York already have antibodies, it means that 21% of the people in New York have had this and didn't know they had it. They were asymptomatic. They didn't feel any flushiness. They didn't feel any coughs. And so the mortality rate is much lower due to the fact that we compare the mortality rate only to those that were tested and popped positive. Well, now 21% have antibodies in New York. That means that they went through it, came out the other end, developed immunity, and didn't even know they had it. So, again, the number that you come away with when dividing $10 trillion by 60,000 is $130-odd million. I know, Jesus didn't put a price tag on human life. But at some point, we're going to have to deal with the reality that people can't afford food anymore. We're going to have to deal with the reality that you can't send people checks for the rest of their lives and make them sit in their homes. And there's some people that were counting on their credit cards to see them through this. Hey, guess what? Credit cards start cutting limits for people facing tough times because they don't want the exposure. They realize, they see what's coming. And they go, these people aren't ever going to pay us back. We're not going to see a dime. They're going to max out their credit cards and then declare bankruptcy. So we got to cut their limits. Major U.S. credit card issuers are starting to lower customer spending limits as the coronavirus pandemic leaves millions of Americans jobless and struggling to keep up on loans. Discover Financial Services just became the largest lender yet to acknowledge it's begun reining in lines of credit. In a regulatory filing late Wednesday, the firm said it's also easing off efforts to sign up new customers and that it expects to take a hit from programs letting existing borrowers skip payments or delay the accrual of interest. So what this means, if you understand economics, is that people that were using their credit cards as a safety net are going to have less of a safety net than they thought because their limits are about to get cut. They're about to get lowered. So if you had a $5,000 credit limit, it's probably going to go to two. So I'm not, look, there's no good way of seeing this. And the only thing that's certain, the only thing that is undeniable is that the longer we keep this going, the longer we demand that people stay inside and don't go to work and don't open their businesses, the worse it's going to be. Look, I wish I could sit here and give you a happy program. And I think next week, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to talk about viri or viruses. We're not going to talk about unemployed people, although it's going to be very hard. Because guess what? Next week, new report, probably another 3.5 million people out on the streets with nothing to do. And you know what? That stimulus check money is going to run out pretty quick. And people are going to start getting desperate. And desperate people are going to start looking for a way to ease their desperation. So, if you want to look into the future, what you should plan on seeing is an uptick in not just suicides, but an uptick in homicides, an uptick in armed robbery, an uptick in property damage, basically an uptick in criminality of all kind. Because when people are desperate enough, they will justify anything to themselves. But yeah, Jesus didn't put a price tag on human life. Well, no, it was the soul. But again, somebody that, it's just annoying. You refuse to see what's before your eyes. You refuse to look 3 steps ahead or 2 weeks or 3 months or 6 months ahead and see where the train that you're on is headed. You'd rather pontificate today than go, oh my, he's right. This is going to get brutal. So, just in case you thought I was making it up, unemployment in the U.S., and this is, of course, from the Associated Press, unemployment in the U.S. is swelling to levels last seen during the Great Depression of the 1930s, with 1 in 6 American workers thrown out of a job by the coronavirus. No, it was by edicts passed by governors and, to a certain extent, federal law enforcement. It wasn't by the virus. The virus is not a person. Maybe fear of the virus, but not the virus. But 1 in 6 American workers, no tengo trabajo, as they would say in California. They have no work. And there's another thing that we need to discuss, and I don't know if we're going to have time to discuss it today, but the psychological makeup of your average adult in 2020 is very different than the psychological makeup of your average adult in 1930. Yes, that plays a big part too. We need to take that into account as well. We need to take every conceivable piece of data that we can think of in order to realize just how hectic a time we're coming upon. Because there's a lot of, oh, well, we got through the 30s, we're going to get through this. People weren't the same in the 30s. I'm sorry. Have you seen the youth of today? You have no clue what's about to descend. You'll start praying to get the virus in exchange for a job. But yeah, we're opening up too soon. Wisconsin is closed because we want to keep you safe. But I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I need job to get monies to buy food. It's okay. We just want to keep you safe. See, this is what, because again, all of these government officials, all of these bureaucrats, all of these plutocrats, all of these silly, simplistic, sycophantic idiots aren't going without, are they? Every one of these pseudo-soccer moms who don't know the first thing about economics that somehow got a job in the administration and now making policy, they're not going to skip a salary, are they? They're getting paid. That's why it's so easy for government officials to sit there and tell you, perhaps it would be best if you stayed home another month. But I'm behind on my mortgage. And we ran through everything we had in the cupboards and our pantry's empty and we got to the food bank late and we didn't get any food. And I know they're not supposed to shut off our gas or electricity, but we're probably going to owe too much to be able to pay it when this is all over. Can I please go back to work? No! What do you mean? Stay home. Stay home. This is coming from people that haven't been laid off, that haven't been furloughed, that haven't been fired, that are getting nice, big, fat, greasy paychecks from the taxpayer coffers. But again, like everyone else seemingly in this country, they too are myopic, because guess what? If enough people don't work for enough time, no more coffers. Because you can increase taxes. If you do, people will leave your state. And if you keep on with this stupid, hey, people are going to rebel. Because we're going back to the first point I made in the first half hour of this show. You have to leave people a little hope. If you want to control a populace, if you want to play at being a tyrant, lesson number one, leave people something to hope for. Leave people something to look forward to. If you take everything away and they've got nothing to look forward to, it's only a matter of time before the ugly starts happening. Just don't say I didn't warn you. I know. We'll talk in 2 weeks, and I'll say again, I should have held on to that nugget until, you know, we started seeing it. Because, again, I'm not even going to. 1 in 6 Americans, through no fault of their own, were thrown out of a job. More than 4.4 million were laid off and applied for unemployment benefits last week, the government said Thursday. In all, roughly 26 million people, the population of the 10 biggest U.S. cities combined, have now filed for jobless aid in epic collapse that has raised the stakes in the debate over how and when to lift the state-ordered stay-at-home restrictions that have closed factories and other businesses from coast to coast. Day late and a dollar short, kids. Because this should have been the debate before you started closing everything down. And I understand, because I'm objective. I understand if they hadn't shut it down, every one of these homosexuals on the evening news beating the same drum simultaneously. Oh, money over lives, politics killing people. Anything for the almighty dollar, because they don't care either. Is Don the homosexual lemon laid off? No, he's still making millions of dollars a year for being a buffoon and an idiot. Well, is Anderson Cooper going to starve? No, because he's a Rockefeller. Do some research before you start believing everything like a knave. Before you start getting online, oh, they're just trying to save our life and you want to kill us. The people telling you to stay home indefinitely will not suffer. Even if they have to stay home. But guess what? They don't have to stay home. They got private passes. They got special exemptions because they're part of the media. They report the news. So let's summarize here, just to see if I got my facts right. The people insisting that it's your duty as a citizen to lose your business, to be jobless, to sit at home and hope day after day that something happens are the same people who have special exemptions and are allowed to roam about freely, that still have their multi-million dollar jobs, that still have their multi-million dollar homes, and in the case of one Anderson the homosexual Cooper, still has a pretty nice chunk of change left from all granddaddy. Makes sense, don't it? Yep, makes sense. So, again, don't believe what I say, but don't believe what they tell you either. Do your own research. See if what I say makes sense before you start telling me that I'm glad Jesus didn't put a price on a human life of $130 million. By the way, I know who you are. You're a coward, and I know who you are. You're just annoying now. So, this is where we are. We will likely be in the same place next week. Because bureaucracy moves at the speed of a snail, in large part because they are unaffected. Their livelihoods are unaffected. They're still getting paid. You're not. And that's perhaps the saddest thing of all in all of this. Is that the entrepreneurs, the people who pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, the people who ventured out into the unknown and built something out of nothing, are the ones that will suffer the most, while the lickspittles, the bootlickers, the intellectually inferior, the myopic, and the mental midgets will be just fine because they've got government jobs. So, I don't know. I'm just disgusted at this point. And I hope that we can look 2, 3, 6 months down the road and realize that for every day we stay closed as a nation, for every day we don't do business as a nation, the number of those that will die multiplies exponentially. And it won't be the old, and it won't be the frail, and it won't be those with compromised immune systems. It'll be those that have calloused hands, that worked until they couldn't work anymore. And then they were told by some bureaucrat, nope, that's it, you're done. Go home, lock your door, and starve. But you're going to get $1,200 at some point. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. That's all I've got for you this week. I know it wasn't a happy program. Hopefully next week it will be. And stop sending me emails about Jim Baker. I'm all out of empathy. I have no tears to spare for Jim Baker. So please stop. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for listening. And Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
I'm with you, Mike. I have run out of empathy for charlatans, and there's plenty of them, and fleecing the flock and all the stupidity. You know, we are headed for what Dimitri Dudeman said. We're headed for civil revolution. And I would urge everyone, go to handyhelp.com, check out The Dreams and Visions of God by Dimitri Dudeman, and start literally getting them out across our country again to people as a tool of that God can use to wake people up and hopefully urgently make them realize that these dreams from God are absolutely coming true as we speak. And especially as well as a couple books, Through the Fire Without Burning, Dimitri Dudeman's testimony, Michael's Dreams and Visions book, Life Dimitri Dudeman's 35 Dreams and Visions book. You know, we are headed for economic disaster. It's not going to turn around quick. And in Wisconsin, we have a very liberal governor who happened to fly a gay flag above the Capitol last June. And as Mike said, he's just our governor is basically telling people to stay locked up until May 26th. That will be a disaster for Wisconsin. Our tourism industry, which brings in more money than almost anything outside of farming brings in a lot in agriculture. If that goes crash and bust this summer, Wisconsin's going to be in big trouble. So God help us to stay close to Jesus, trust Jesus, and know that our hope is from Him. Thank you for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.